Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you had a great week. I know it was hot, wasn't it? I know I had to go to Hattiesburg on Monday, and when I came out and got my car and started home from Hattiesburg, it was saying 109 degrees, and it stayed from 109 to 105 all the way back to Macomb. It was hot, that's for sure. Thank the Lord for air conditioning, right? I tell you, that old, what we used to call that old 265 air conditioned, you know, two windows down, 65 miles an hour. I'm sure am glad we got that good air now, aren't you? We hope you've been good this week. Hope everything's been all right with you. And so we're just so glad to be with you again this morning. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. So let's go to Him. Just ask Him to bless our time today. Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for just the opportunity once again to be on this radio station, to come and to share your word. We thank you we can do it without fear of persecution or threat in any way. But Lord, we thank you that we can offer this to those people that may be shut in this morning, those that may be sick and not able to attend their church. Lord, we pray for them this morning. We pray for their restored health. We pray, Lord, that you'll minister to them whatever they need right there in their home, that your Holy Spirit would just fill that place. We pray for those that may be traveling today, that may be in their cars right now. We pray for safe journey to and from for them, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, just to fill their car with your Spirit, Lord, and just go with them and give them a safe journey. We pray for our church this morning as we gather for worship today. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless our time together. We thank you for the results of the revival that we are still seeing. We pray today that it will be another great day for you. But Lord, most of all, I pray for a cleansing of my life, that I can be a vessel you can speak through, that these will be your words and not ours. I pray that Satan will be bound, not let him enter into anybody's home, or anybody's car, anybody's heart this morning to distract them or steal from them what you have for them today. Let us always lift Jesus up, that he can draw all people unto him, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. All right, this morning as we think about what we need to look at today, a little different story, but it's one that I preached a lot of times. And matter of fact, the first sermon that I preached when I came to West Macomb 19 and a half years ago, I preached on, "Where art thou? Where are you at?" And so you know where we're going then. We're going over to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. But I want us to look at this on a little different take this morning. I want us to think about God's questions about our sins. God's questions about our sins. What is God asking you this morning about your life, about your sin? What's going on in your life right now? I heard Dr. Youssef preaching about this on the radio, and he made a statement. He was talking a little different what we're going to look at today, but one thing he did say, he said, you know, God looked at Eve and said, you know, what is this you've done? What have you done? That's one of the questions we're going to look at. Because, see, we need to ask ourselves, what is God asking us this morning about our sin? What is he saying about our sins? What does this story teach us about sin in our lives, and how that we are to deal with those sins and how God dealt with those sins? So we're going to look this morning, as I said, in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to begin with that verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 13 as we look at God's questions about our sins. He says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave it the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You know, I preached a lot of sermons on these verses, as I just said at the beginning. Matter of fact, it's some of those favorite times that I can remember back and seeing some good result from God using these verses, because it carries us back to where man sinned. It carried us back to where it all started at. Isn't it amazing how man had everything? It was heaven here on earth, and yet man chose to sin. But you know, we're living in a day and time that I'm afraid that people have forgotten the sinfulness of man. We make so light of sin. Matter of fact, we don't call anything sin anymore, much less think that people are of a sinful nature or that people are sinful. It seems as if we have just kind of removed sin out of the way. And if we talk about sin now, it's when we talk about a piece of cake or something, right? Oh, that cake just sinful. Well, what's sinful about that cake? That cake ain't sinful. What's sinful about that cake is that we as men desire it and we overeat it and we eat too much of it. That's the reason it becomes sinful. The cake itself isn't sinful. Man is sinful. And you know, we just downplay the word sin. We use it to say, oh, that fudge is just sinful, or that cake is just sinful. No, man is sinful. We are all of that sinful nature. And for some reason, we have downplayed it to a point that people don't think they're sinners. I mean, you know, when's the last time you heard a preacher preach on that hellfire and brimstone and talk about the sinfulness of man? God has really put a burden upon my heart. And I know over the last 3 months, probably 2 or 3 months, I've preached on sin at least twice, 3 times counting today. Because I just believe that we're living in a day of time that we don't want to call sin, sin. We want to call it alternative lifestyle. We want to call it, well, everybody's choice. We want to call it, well, it's okay. You know, just don't worry about it. But this morning, I want us to see that God has some questions about our sins. That God wants to question us about, why are we so sinful? Why have we done this? He wants to question us, what have we done? And we don't really understand so many times, or either we don't want to understand because we don't want to hear it. We don't want anybody to tell us that we're sinful or that we're doing sinful or that we're doing wrong. But brothers and sisters, we got to understand that sin is real. And the Bible talks about it. You know, I laugh at people a lot of times, you know, they'll ask and say, what you going to preach on Sunday? And I'm saying, I'm going to preach against sin. I'm going to preach against sin. That's what I'm going to preach on. Sometimes I'll say, well, I'm going to preach on the pulpit, you know. But what am I going to preach on? Well, listen, we ought to preach against sin every Sunday. Somewhere in that sermon, we ought to remind people we are sinners saved by grace. Isn't that amazing? That God loves us. Even though we're sinners, God loves us. And we are saved by that grace. But we have to realize we are sinners. No one will be saved. We talked about our baptisms being down across the board of all of our Baptist churches, and other denominations are same way. A lot of them are churches are closing in our association and other in our denomination and other denominations. We see churches constantly closing, and we wonder why. Because people are getting more and more sinful. I mean, have you ever seen such a day and time that sin is so legalized? Everywhere we look, sin is legalized by our government, by our law officials. There's legislation that protects sinners. Isn't that amazing? That protects people who do wrong. So, you know, that's where we at. You've heard me say a lot of times, the government rewards us for doing wrong. And doing wrong is sin. Sin. What's in the middle of sin? I is, right? I is in the middle of sin. And therefore, we are all sinners. We're in the middle of it. So God even at the first sin, even if God, when man fell here in the Garden of Eden, God has some questions. So I want us to look at four questions this morning that I feel are God's questions concerning our sins, about our sins. The first is, he asked Adam, what? Where are you? Where are you at right now? The second thing that he asked him is what? Who you been listening to? Who have you been listening to? Number three, he asked him, you know, have you disobeyed me? Have you really disobeyed me, Adam? And then the last thing he asked Eve was what? What hast thou done? What have you done, girl? What have you done? I don't think she really understood the ramifications of what she had done. So let's go back and look at the first one. Like I said, I preached a whole sermon on this, just this one question. Where art thou, Adam? Where are you at? So this morning we need to ask ourselves the question, where are we at today in our lives? Where are you at right now in your life? You know, I hear some pessimists will say what? You're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, or fixing to go right into a crisis. Well, I'd hate to live my life thinking that every day is going to be a crisis or I'm fixing to go into a crisis. I hope that some days I'd have a good day, right? And God blesses me with a lot of good days, a lot of days that I enjoy a thing. And then there are some days that I go from one crisis right to the next crisis. It seems like it's a total day, a mini crisis. So I really don't like that statement, you know, that you're either coming out of a crisis, in a crisis, or either you're fixing to have one. So don't live your life like that in such a negative term, because we have a Savior named Jesus who loves us. But where are you right now in your relationship with God? You know, that is the question he was asking. Where are you, Adam? Where are we at in our relationship? See, sin hinders our fellowship with God. It hinders us being able to fellowship with him, to enjoy worship. You know, there's a lot of people in our churches that won't come to worship because they don't enjoy it. And they'll tell you, oh, I don't like the music, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, or the preach. What it all boils down to is sin is in their life, and because sin is in their life, it has strained their relationship with God, and they don't feel comfortable being in the fellowship of God. We see that when this sin happened, before it happened, what happened? God would come to the garden in the cool of the evening, and we like to sing that in the garden. He would walk with me, and he would talk with me. In that garden, he was walking and talking and fellowshipping with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, every evening. But when God shows up that evening, what happened? We see that they had eaten of the forbidden fruit. They had eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what happened? They were sinned. They had sinned. They had disobeyed God. So what did they do? They went and they hid themselves. They hid themselves. You know, this morning I wonder how many people is trying to hide from God today. Trying to hide from God right in plain sight. You know, can you hide from God? I love what it says. They tried to hide themselves amongst the trees. Now, do you think God can't see you wherever you go? I mean, there's no place we can go that we can hide from God, right? There's no place that we can go. Now, we preached on sin not too long ago. What did it say? Everything that has been hid, everything that's been covered up, it's going to be revealed. God knows exactly where you're at today in your fellowship, in your relationship with him. And that's his first question to us this morning. Where are you at in your relationship with God? Now, when we preached on this sermon, back when we first came, 1900, we talked about, you know, are we like the Israelite people? Are we in bondage? Are we wandering in the wilderness? Or are we in that great relationship in the promised land? So, you know, we're not going to re-preach that sermon, but you see where I was going with that. So the question is today, where are you at in the relationship with God? That's what God wants to know. If there's sin standing between you and God, then God's asking, well, where are you at? Why are you hiding from me? I mean, they were shameful. They were full of guilt. They had disobeyed God. And the Bible says what? They were naked. They knew they were naked. Because see, exactly what God told them would happen. Their eyes were open. They knew good from evil. And they realized they were naked, so they wanted to cover themselves up. But listen, you can't cover yourself up from God. Now, I don't mean we need to start no nudist church this morning. What I mean is you can't cover up the sin in your heart, in your life. You can't hide it from God. You know, we need to be clothed physically. But spiritually, we are all naked before God this morning. He can see us. He knows the sin in our lives. We can't hide. But see, that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to keep you guilty, feeling guilty. He wants to make you feel ashamed. He wants to make you want to hide from God and feel like, well, I can't go back to church and I can't do these things. You know, I was just talking to somebody this week. We were talking about a person and talking about their reason they weren't in it. And listen, it's because they're ashamed. They know they're not living right, and therefore they can't come in the presence of God in church on Sunday because they're not willing to confess their sins, repent of their sins, and go to living right. You know, you got to live right before God or you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel shame. You're going to want to hide, you know. You want to get back as far back on the back row as you can. Now, I'm not knocking my back row people this morning. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're in here. But are we trying to hide in plain sight from God? Are we not willing to confess that sin? Do we even know that we're sinners? Are we full of that shame? You know, Jeremiah, God asked Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. We quote this a lot of times. When God asked Jeremiah, he says, were they ashamed when they committed these abominations? And Jeremiah said, nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Did you hear that? God asked Jeremiah, Jeremiah, are these people even ashamed of their sin? All these abominations that they're committing, are they even ashamed of it? And what did Jeremiah tell God? No, they're not ashamed at all. They don't even blush. Is that not where we're at in our nation today? When I see these people protesting for abortion, when I see these people protesting for same-sex marriage, when I see these people protesting for smoking that marijuana and all the other evils that we have that people protest about around in our world, I look at them and I say, these people have no shame? How could anybody hold a sign up and say, I want the right to kill my baby? Where are our shame? Where's the shame that people should have? You know, we're ashamed of God, but we're not ashamed of our sins. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before people, I'm going to be ashamed of you before God. Well, brothers and sisters, God is asking this morning, where are you? Where are you in your relationship with Him? Where are you at in your fellowship with God? Where are you at right now in your life with God? What is your fellowship with Him? What is your relationship with Him? If you're sinning, are you at least ashamed about it? If you are, then quit hiding. Quit letting Satan make you feel guilty and keep you in bondage to guilt and shame. Confess that sin. Repent of it, and God will forgive you. Well, let's look at the second thing. Who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Look at verse 11. We see that when Adam, them are hid, and God comes, and he asks him, said, Adam, what you doing there? And Adam says, well, we heard you coming, but, you know, we were naked, we hid ourselves. And in verse 11, what did he say? Who told you were naked? So what God has asked him, he said, who you been listening to, Adam? Who you been listening to? So I want to ask you this morning, who are you listening to? Now, you're sitting here in this congregation and you're looking at me. You're listening on the radio and riding down the road in your car and hoping you're listening to me. But there may be other people trying to have conversations with you. There may be other things that you've been listening to. But who are you listening to in your life? Who is calling the shots for you? You know, when we look around at our world today, we know the world is screaming at us, isn't it? The world is screaming at our children, screaming at our youth, screaming at our young adults, telling them, you don't need God, you don't need church, you don't need this. If you do go to church, just show up on Sunday morning and you've done your bleed. Make sure you go pick a church that don't preach the word. Make sure you go to a church that's just going to make you feel good and going to entertain you and have their bands and their lights and the preacher don't even open the Bible. Make sure you go to one of them kind of churches now. That's what Satan is telling you. That's what the world is telling you. Adam and Eve listened to Satan. Eve listened to Satan, this old serpent, more subtle than any other beast, it said. He comes to Eve and he talks to Eve, and Eve gives her ear. And she listens to what he had to say. And we see that God even, he told the woman, he said, look, God told you you couldn't eat of every tree in the garden, didn't he? And he said, well, we can eat of every tree in the garden, but he told us that what? We couldn't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden, because if we do, if we eat of it, or even if we touch it, we're going to die. Now notice that. So we see Satan is working on Eve right here, isn't he? I mean, she's listening to him. And this is how the world does us. It gets us to if they can ever get our ear, and they'll even talk to God about us. See, this is what Satan's doing. He, you know, he says, well, didn't the Lord say this? And then Eve, what does she do? She begins to add to what God said. Did you see that? She begins to add to it. She said, well, he said, don't even touch it. Well, God didn't say that. He said, don't eat of it. He didn't say you couldn't look at it. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat of that. And then look what Satan does. He just plain out contradicts the word of God, calls God a liar. You see this? And the serpent said unto the woman, you're not surely going to die, because God knew when you ate of that, you would become like him. Listen, man's desire has always seemed to be, I want to be God, right? I mean, even Lucifer, that's the reason this old serpent, this old devil, this old Satan, whatever you want to call him, that was cast out of heaven, that's the reason he was cast out of heaven. He wanted to be God. And so he implants into Eve's mind and to what? That if you eat of it, you're going to be like God. You're going to become a God. Do you know we have religions that even teach that today? That you just keep transcending and you just keep getting incarnated and you go from life to life to life. And if you keep living a good enough life, guess what you're going to do? Before long, you become God and you have your own little God world. You have your own little God children, your own little God wife. Isn't that amazing? It's nothing but another lie from Satan. It all started right here by Satan getting Eve to doubt the word of God, to give him her ear and to listen to her. And by that, he even calls God a liar. He that is the father of all lies, he that is a bald-faced liar, he that never tells the truth, calls the God, the one and only true God of heaven, the God who created all things, the Bible says that cannot lie. Satan calls him a liar and he believes it. Oh, brothers and sisters. And then what happens? Eve listens to Satan. Then Adam listens to Eve. Isn't that amazing? Adam listens to Eve. She gives the food to him. And he eats of it. Listen, folks. When are we going to wake up and quit listening to all this misadvice that we've been getting? You know, there's a lot of people that want to advise you. There's a lot of people that want to tell you a lot of things. But you don't need to think about who are you listening to? Who are you listening to this morning? Are you listening to God Almighty? You sitting here in the sound of my voice, but is Satan there whispering in your ear? Is he sitting there whispering in your ear saying, oh, don't listen to him. That Brother Van, he's done got old. He's done got senile. He just needs to sit down and shut up. He's all the time trying to scare you with sin. Brother says, you better be scared of it. Because the wages of that sin is death. And we need to wake up. We need to think about who are we listening to. Well, let's look at the third thing. Then he asks, well, how have you disobeyed me? Do you see what he asked Adam there in verse 11 once again? After we see that he asked, you know, who are you listening to? Who told you? And then what did he say? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? So here we see God is just looking at Adam and he's saying, did you disobey me? Did you disobey me? Did you really? Adam, all that I've done for you, all that I've given you, I let you eat of every tree in this garden, and I tell you, don't eat of one tree. Did you eat of that tree? Did you do what I told you not to do? Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing so many times how that our sins, you know, they're not so subtle. A lot of times sin just kind of creeps up on us, and it's just kind of we just kind of get on that slippery slope. But sometimes it's just blatant disobedience. And this is exactly what this was right here. It was just blatant disobedience to God and to his word. For him to be told, Adam to be told, don't you eat of that tree. And I know us men, you know, we like to use an excuse like Adam did. Well, that woman gave it to him, you know. All started with that woman. Look, Adam was first created. He's supposed to be the religious leader. He should have said to the woman, don't you eat of that, and I'm not eating of it either. But he blatantly disobeyed God. You know, when I look around today, and like I said, I hate keep bringing up abortion, same-sex marriage, and all the marijuana stuff, and all the drug addictions, and adultery, and all the things that we just see, the pornography that's in our world today. All these are just blatant disobedience to God. Just stubbing our nose in his face. But not only that, so many times we see so many of our preachers standing in our pulpits are just blatantly disobeying God. They're not preaching on sin. They're not preaching against sin. They're not preaching that these things are wrong. Matter of fact, they're conforming to the world. You know? They're conforming to the world. The church should be setting the example. The church should be obedient to the word of God. But so many times we're blatantly disobedient. That means we don't love him. You know, John 14:15 said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, our children keep our commandments when they get growner because they love us. Not because we can spank them or put them back, you know, in time out or whatever people do nowadays. But it's because they love us that they keep the commandments. If we love God, we will keep his commandments. But here, there was just blatant disobedience. So this morning, I ask you, how have you disobeyed God today? Are you disobeying God today? There was a mass of people who disobeyed God today because they didn't come to church. You know, like the preacher said, he was with his other preachers at the pastor's conference. Everybody was talking about what kind of Sunday they had. And one preacher said, man, I had a 100 decisions Sunday. And he said, you had 100 decisions? He said, yeah, I had 100 people decided to stay home. You know, I just wonder so many times, how are we going to get by with just blatantly disobeying God about his Sabbath day, about keeping it holy? So we need to ask ourselves the questions this morning. How have you disobeyed him? How are you disobeying him right now in your life? Do you have sin you need to confess in? Well, let's look at the last one. The last one, he looks at Eve in that verse 13, and what did he say? And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And what did Eve say? She answered and said, hey, that serpent, he beguiled, he tricked me. That serpent tricked me. See, everybody wants to blame the sin on everybody else. Everybody won't say it's somebody else's fault. But listen, it all boils down to what have you done? Now, I know we already talked about how have you disobeyed, who you listen to. We talked about where we're at in our relationship. But this is such an important question because, see, Eve does not understand the ratification of this sin. She does not understand the scope of what she just did. Her and Adam. Now, we're not just going to blame it on Eve, but they don't really understand the magnitude of what this sin has done. They don't understand it. They don't understand it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, what did it say? That by one man, what sin entered into all men, and by that one man, Adam, that sin entered into all men, then death by what? By that sin. So see, what they did right then, what she did right then, affected all of mankind. All of mankind. Not just her and Adam at that moment, but the whole human race from that point on was altered. Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. Not one. So from that time forward, sin passed to all people. And because of sin, death passed to all people. You know, it's not just the punishment that God gave Adam and Eve, you know, and the serpent, that Adam would have to work from that time on with the sweat of his brow, and there would be vines and stickers and all, and pestilence, that Eve would hurt when she had a baby, then severe pain, You know, we had a young lady have a child the other day, and she said, Brother Van, I didn't get there in time to get my epidural. You know, it was too late, and I couldn't get it. Boy, it hurt. It was bad. It's all because of this right here, folks. All because of this. When the world began, when sin, when man failed, and it's passed through all men, women, boys, and girls. See, so many times we don't understand exactly what we have done when we sin. We don't understand the magnitude of how many people it's going to affect. All these laws that our government has passed, all these laws against God, oh, brothers and sisters, what kind of ratifications they're going to have in the years to come. Just look at how many millions of babies were killed in these 50 years because of Roe versus Wade. Think about what's fixing to happen. All the lives that have been destroyed by these same-sex marriages. People committing suicide. All these things, people's lives being destroyed, bodies being mutilated. Just think about all this legalized drugs and alcohol. Look at all the lives it has destroyed. See, we don't understand the magnitude. We need to ask ourselves, what have you done? Don't you understand the magnitude of sin in your life? So this morning, what's God's answer then? These are his questions. What is his answer? His answer is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't hide in your sin. Don't keep mumbling around in shame. Don't be embarrassed to come to church because you sin. Repent of it. God will forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Repent of that sin. Change your wicked ways. Change your wicked ways. God is calling you out today. Just as he did Adam and Eve. Get out of them bushes. Come over here. And what did God do? He killed the first animal. He made them skins. He made them skins. They had to pay for their sins. And we still paying for it today. That's the magnitude of it. This morning, don't continue in your sin. Repent of it today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. Help us to see God's questions to us this morning. Help us to answer them truthfully before him. Help us not to hide, but yet, Lord, to come forward and say, yes, I have sinned. Yes, I'm sorry. I repent of that sin. Forgive me, and God will do it. Lord, if there's one need to be saved, save them right now, Lord. Help us as Christian people to get our fellowship back right with you. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.